Now we do the third part. We're going to do the psalm and the letter to Timothy, second letter. The psalm, you see, is this theme again of trust. We can trust you, God. You know, if God were touchy, he'd be mad at all of us because we don't trust him. He's infinite. He's holy. He died for us. And we still don't trust him. That shows you how sick we are. Mixed up. So the refrain is, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. The editors got it. That's the refrain for these three blocks of psalm text. It's Psalm 33. It starts off, the line ahead of it, sing to God a new song, sing well with the shout, the teruah, the sacred shout. It's lovely stuff. Because, ki, yashar dabar Adonai, because the word of God is yashar. It's straight. There's no wiggles in it, you know? You can trust him. You can trust him. And as I tried to say before, we trust him if we get to know him. We get to know him if we hang around with him. And we hang around with him if we pray an hour a day. That is minimal survival equipment in the world today, especially for a priest. If we're not praying an hour a day, we got nothing to give anybody else. And we weren't ordained to fix the furnace, though it needs fixing. We were ordained to care for God's people. We weren't ordained to raise money for the parish. You know, the whole parish falls apart. You could take them over to the parking lot. That's exaggeration. But I mean, we get fixated. There's a text, old Latin Vulgate used to have a text. Fascinatio nugacitatis obscurat bonum. The fascination with trifles obscures the good. Don't let it happen. Make sure when you get up in the morning, you get up early enough to pray for an hour before the Mass, whatever, before anything. Pray. Pick up the Bible. Pray. So, otherwise it's hard to trust God, you know? How can I trust God, whoever he is? I can't. I mean, I know I'm supposed to, but I mean, I won't. So the word of the Lord is yashar. If you're over there in Jerusalem and you're asking directions, you say, where's the post office? Yashar, yashar. Just walk straight. You'll get there. So it means upright, straight, yashar. Who yashar? You say, that man, he's a straight man. You can trust him. You see? All his works are trustworthy, which is emunah. We've done emunah 100 times, haven't we? Amen. It means to be firm. In a Semitic mind, what is firm is true, and what blows away is false. That's why the very first psalm in the whole Psalter is, you see, Asherei Aish, Asher Lo Halak, and so forth. And what is he like? He's like a tree planted. He's emunah. He's not going to move. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff blown by the wind. What is true lasts. And a person who is true lasts. And a person who's not true, always looking out for themselves, not paying any attention to God, they blow away. Look at the whole Nazi empire. Where is it now? Frightened the whole world. Gone. And Mother Teresa, where is she? Still inspiring people, still moving. People pray to her. See, what's upright, what's according to God's will, is stayed. You got it? You understand? And so, you see, his works are the emunah, in solidity. Well, how do they translate that? Are trustworthy. Pretty good. But it means that they don't move. And then it goes on to say, you say, Ochev tzedakah u'mishpat. He loves justice, tzedakah. That's what was credited to Abraham as justice. We just had it a minute ago. Was to believe him. He loves justice. An upright man, tzedakah. Justice, biblically, as I've said before, means to honor the truth of every relationship. So what is the truth of our relationship to God? We believe him. And we love him. And we rely on him. He's promised, he's given us a firm invitation to eternal life, which we can blow. But if we remember that that's where he's calling us, when we're tempted to sin, we won't sin. When we're tempted to live a superficial life, we won't do it. Every day, thank the Lord and say, thank you for your firm invitation to eternal life. Every day. Thank you for that. You see? So, that's the theme of these Psalms. I want to move on now. There's lots more you could do. Our soul waits for the Lord is further down in verse 20. Nafshenu hikat ladonai. Hikata ladonai. In Psalm 106, it says they sinned because they didn't wait for the Lord's counsel. Wait. How long? The longer you wait, the better you get at it. And the more you trust. That's why he keeps us waiting sometimes. Lord, I need this, this, this. He knows it. But why does he keep me waiting? Because above and beyond everything you need God. And you've got to learn to wait on him. Okay, we're going to go on now to this second letter to Timothy. It starts with verse 8, but the second part. The first part says, don't be ashamed of the witness of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. You know, if you have a friend who's a great holy person, and the cops pick him up, what is your instinct? Joe? I know, I never heard of him. I mean, you see? Trouble. Stay away. Paul says, don't do that. I'm in jail for preaching the truth. Don't back away. Timothy, that part is not in the text for the feast for the Sunday, but it's here. You see? Don't be Episkenthes, don't be ashamed of the witness of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Then it starts, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel. He's not fooling around, is he? He's not saying, you get to be a preacher of the gospel, your life is going to be cool. There are preachers whose life is cool. What they say is nothing. Froth, people pleasers, funny guys, telling the fishing stories, cracking jokes. Everybody loves them. Here's $50, Father, have yourself a good time. That's not a preacher. See, don't be ashamed, you see? Or rather, in this one, you know, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. It'll happen. One way it happens is not everybody's thrilled when you preach the truth. Keep at it, because some who are most opposed will be won over. I went to a parish once, I was there 20 years, a Sunday supply. And the first Sunday was on repentance, so I preached on repentance. I guess they hadn't heard much about repentance. As I was coming out, there were two couples coming out, one in back of the other. They both said the same thing to me with the most sarcastic tone of voice. Don't worry, Father, a few will be saved. I was going to punch the guy right in the nose. I wasn't. But I mean, so sarcastic. I guess they thought they didn't need repentance. I wish I didn't need repentance. I mean, I'm glad when people preach it. You see? So you bear this with the strength that comes from God. Kata dinamin tehu. Okay. Who saved us and called us to a holy life, to a holy calling. That phrase, kliti aia, aia, kliti, klisi aia, reflects a saying, kliti aia, which is in the Septuagint, meaning a holy calling, and so a holy gathering. And so it's used, Paul uses it here, you know, he knows the Septuagint practically by heart, and he's hoping Timothy did. Remember, Timothy would study the scriptures from childhood with his grandmother. Okay. Called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest. How is it made? Well, one is the transfiguration we're going to read about in a minute. But the other is the whole life of the body of Christ, lived particularly in its saints. You get an idea then of this grace, which was, you know, hidden, bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, and now made manifest. See? And now revealed. Phanerothisan, through the epiphania, not through the epiphany of our Savior Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and brought immortality to light through the gospel. Now, they're preparing us for the gospel reading. He brought immortality to light through the gospel. The whole gospel, which is his death and resurrection. You know, the letter to the Hebrews starts off, in many ways and various times, God spoke to us, to our fathers, through the prophets. Now in these last days, he has spoken to us in a son. How did he speak to us in a son? By dying in an act of love and rising again. So the word of the Lord rings, manifest, brilliant, shines. But the whole word of the Lord is death and resurrection, freedom, a call to eternal life. And so, you see, all of this has been made manifest through the appearance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and brought life in immortality through the preaching of the gospel. Every word of hers here is more like any translation, you know, that just happens with this one too. So what have we here? We have a psalm which speaks of trust. And we have this solemn promise. Jesus came, you see, and made manifest, you see, the promise, the grace, you see, now, because it's manifest. It's manifest at every Eucharist. This is my body. This is my blood. Take, eat, take, drink, feed on me. Get ready for heaven. You see? And so that's it's made manifest through the gospel, the preaching of the good news. All right.